Hello, and welcome to the Word Theater Short Story Podcast, your weekly access to the best short stories read by great actors. My name is Cedaring Fox. I'm Word Theater's founder and artistic director. Today, we are bringing you an hilarious story by Dorothy Parker that was published in The New Yorker on October 19, 1929. Born in 1893, Dorothy Parker grew up on Manhattan's Upper West Side. Her childhood was an unhappy one. Both her mother and stepfather died when she was young. Her uncle, Martin Rothschild, went down on the Titanic in 1912, and her father died the following year. Her formal education ended when she was just 14 years old. In spite of these challenges, Dorothy was only 21 when she sold her first poem to Vanity Fair. At 22, she was hired at Vogue, and at 24, Vanity Fair hired her to be their drama critic. She then joined the editorial board of The New Yorker. In 1919, Parker became a founding member of the famed Algonquin Roundtable, an informal gathering of writers who lunched at the Algonquin Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. The group was known for its scathing wit and intellectual commentary. Dorothy's story, But the One on the Right, was performed brilliantly at a Word Theater event in London by the inimitable, divine Hannah Waddingham. I first saw Hannah in Spamalot on Broadway in an unforgettable turn playing the Lady of the Lake. This accomplished four-octave West End and Broadway star has spent the last few years delighting audiences as Rebecca Welton, the owner of AFC Richmond on the Apple TV Plus series Ted Lasso. We invite you to enjoy Hannah Waddingham performing But the One on the Right by Dorothy Parker.
I knew it. I knew if I came to this dinner, I would draw something like this baby on my left. They've been saving him up for me for weeks. Now, we've simply got to have him. His sister was so sweet to us in London. We can stick him next to Mrs. Parker. She talks enough for two. Oh, God, I should never have come. Never. You know, I'm here against my better judgment. Friday at 8:30, Mrs. Parker versus her better judgment to a decision. You know, that'd be a good thing to cut onto my tombstone. Wherever she went, including here, it was against her better judgment. Well, this is a fine time of the evening to be talking about tombstones, but that is the effect he is already having on me. Already before the soup's hardly cold yet. I should have stayed at home for dinner. I should have had something on a tray. The head of John the Baptist, perhaps. Oh, I should never have come. Well, the soup's over anyway. And that much nearer to my eternal home. Now the soup belongs to the ages, and I have said precisely four words to the gentleman on my left. I said, "Isn't this soup delicious?" That's four words. And he said,
"Yes, isn't it?"
That's three. He's one up on me. At any rate, we're in perfect accord. We agree like lambs. We've been all through the soup together. And now we're at a crossroad between us. It seems rather a pity to let the subject drop. Now we found something which we harmonize on so admirably. You know I believe I'll bring it up again. I'll ask him if the soup wasn't delicious. He says,
"Oh, yes, wasn't it?"
Look at that. Perfect command of his tenses. Oh, here comes the fish. Goody, goody, goody. We've got fish. I wonder if he likes fish. Oh, yes, he does. He likes fish. Oh, that's nice. I love that in a man. Oh, look, he's talking. He's chattering away like a veritable magpie. He's asking me if I like fish. Now, does he really want to know, or is it only a line? Well, I better play it cagey. I'll tell him, "Oh, pretty well. Oh, I like fish pretty well." Well, now that's a fascinating bit of autobiography for him to study over. Maybe he'd rather wrestle with it alone. I'd better steal softly away and leave him to his thoughts. You know, I might try my luck with this guy on the right. Nope. Not a chance there. The woman on the other side has him cold. All I can see is a shoulder. It's a nice shoulder, too. Oh, it is a nice, nice shoulder. All my life, I've been fooled by these nice shoulders. Very well, lady, you know, you saw him first. You keep your Greek god, and I'll go back to my Trojan horse. Now, let's see, where were we? Oh, we'd got to him confessing his liking of fish. Oh, I wonder what else he likes. Does he like cucumbers? Yes, he does. He likes cucumbers. And potatoes? Yes, he likes potatoes, too. Why, he's a regular old nature lover. That's what he is. I would have to come out and sit next to the boy Thoreau. Oh, wait, he's saying something. Words are simply pouring out of him. He's asking me if I'm fond of potatoes. No, I don't like potatoes. Oh, there, I've done it. I've differed from him. It's our first quarrel. Oh, he's fallen into a moody silence. Silly boy. Did I prick your bubble? Do you think I am nothing but a painted doll with sawdust for a heart? Oh, don't look like that. Look, I have something to tell you that'll bring you back. I do like cucumbers. Well, now he's better already. Oh, he speaks again. And he says, yes, he likes them too. Well, now we've got all that straightened out, thank God. We both like cucumbers. Only he likes them twice. Oh, I better leave him alone so he can get some food. He ought to try and get his strength back. He's talked himself groggy. Well, I wish I had something to do. I hate to be a mere drone. You know, people ought to let you know when they're going to sit you next to this thing like this, so you could bring along some other means of occupation. Dear Mrs. Parker, do come to us for dinner Friday next, and don't forget your drawn work. I could have brought my top bureau drawer and tidied it up here on my lap. I could have made great strides towards getting the photographs of those beach pictures pasted into the album. I wonder if my hostess would think it was strange if I asked for a pack of cards. I wonder if there are any old copies of St. Nicholas lying about. I wonder if they wouldn't need a little help in the kitchen. Or if anybody wanted me to run up to the corner and get a late paper. You know, I could do a little drinking, of course. All by myself. There's always that. Oh, dear, dear, dear. There is always that. But I don't want to drink and get all ventriste. I'm melancholy even before I start. I wonder what this stiff on my left would say if I told him I was on a fair way to getting ventriste. Oh, God, look at him hoeing into his fish. What does he care whether I get ventriste or not? His soul can't rise above food. He's purely physical, that's all he is. Digging into his grave with his teeth, that's what he's doing. You're digging into your grave with your teeth. Ugh. He doesn't care if I get ventriste. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a damn, and me, so nice. All right. I'm going to drink myself to death right in front of your eyes and see how you'll feel. Here I go. Oh, my God, it's Chablis. Oh. And a year when the grapes failed and they used summer squash instead. Oh, $15 for all you can carry home on your shoulder. Okay, listen. Where I come from, we feed this to the pigs. I think I'll ask old Chatterbox on my left if this isn't rotten wine. That ought to open up a whole new school of dialectics for us. Oh, he says he really wouldn't know. He never touches wine. Well, that fairly well ends that. I wonder how he'd like to step to hell. Anyway, well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I'm not going to spend the best years of my life thinking up pearls to scatter before him. I'm going to stick to my Chablis, rotten though it may be. From now on, he can go his way, and I will go mine. I'm better than he is. I'm better than anybody at this table. But am I really? After all, half what they have. Here I am, lonely, unwanted, silent. And me with all these new clothes on. What would Louise Boulanger say if she saw her gold lame going unnoticed like this? It's life, I suppose. Poor little things. You know, we dress and we plan and we hope, and for what? I mean, what is life anyway? A death sentence. The longest distance between two points. The bunch of hay that's tied to the nose of the tired mule and the... Oh, well, well, well. Here we are at the entrecote. Button up your entrecote when the wind is free. No. Okay, I guess not. Now, I will be damned if I ask old Loquacity here if he likes meat. I mean, in the first place, his likes and dislikes are nothing to me. And second, oh my God, look at him go after it. He must have been playing hard all afternoon. He is mother's hungry boy tonight. As for me, I am on a higher plane. I do not stoop to him. He is less than the dust beneath my chariot wheel. Less than the dust. Oh, I'm glad there's red wine now. Even if it isn't good, I'm glad. Red wine gives me courage. The red badge of courage. I need courage. Oh, I am in a thin way here. Nobody knows what a filthy time I'm having. My precious evening that can never come again. Ruined. Ruined. Ruined, and all because of this somewhat different monologuist on my left. But he can't lick me. No, the knight is not dead. No, nor dying. You know, this really isn't half bad wine. Now, what do you suppose is going on with the Greek god on my right? Oh, no use. There's still only the shoulder. Oh, it is a nice shoulder. I wonder what the woman's like that's got him. Well, I can't see her at all. I wonder if she's beautiful. I wonder if she's Greek, too. You know, I'm not going to be spineless anymore. Don't think for a minute, lady, that I've given up. He's still using his knife and fork. While those hands above the table, there's hope. Really, I suppose, you know, out of obligation to my hostess, I ought to do something about saying a few words to this macaw on my left. What shall I try? Have you read anything good lately? Do you much go to the play? Have you been to the Riviera? I wonder if you'd like to hear about my summer in the Riviera. No, hell no, that's no good without the lantern slides. I bet, though, if I started telling him about the one night, he'd listen. No, I'm not gonna tell him. It's too good for him. Anybody that never touches wine can't hear that. Oh, but the one on the right, now he'd like that. He touches wine. Touches it indeed. Ooh, he just threw it for a formidable loss. Oh, look, old silver tongue's off again. What? Well, he's mad with his own perfume. He's rattling away like lightning. He's asking me if I like salad. Yes, I do. Or what does he want to make of that? He's telling me about salad through the ages. He says it's so good for people. So help me God, if he gives me a talk on roughage, I will slap him in the face. Is this my life? To sit here all dressed up in my best and listen to this thing talk about romaine? And all the time, right here on my right. Oh, well, Well, I thought you were never going to turn around. Oh, you haven't. You have? Oh, Lord, well, I've been having an awful time, too.
Was she?
Well, you should have seen what I drew. Oh, no, well, I don't see how we could. Yeah, I know, it's terrible, but how can we get out of it? Well, yeah, yes, that's true. Look, right after dinner, I'll say I have this horrible headache, and you say you're going to take me home in your car, and...
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Word Theater Short Story Podcast, featuring Hannah Waddingham performing Dorothy Parker's short story, But the One on the Right. We invite you to visit wordtheater.org, where you can check out our 20th anniversary year event schedule. We have fantastic celebrations planned in Los Angeles, New York, and London. Word Theater also hosts an annual writer's workshop in France. This year it takes place September 29th to October 6th, and we have three spots available. Jill McCorkle, who will be featured on next week's podcast, will be leading a group of 12 writers. If you're interested, please email admin@wordtheater.org. We'd also love you to visit wordtheater.org/membership to see how you can support our podcast by becoming a Word Theater patron or enthusiast member. Members have free access to our beautifully recorded events, and there are other wonderful perks offered throughout the year. Thanks for tuning in to the Word Theater Short Story Podcast. Special thanks to Jonathan Sachs for composing our theme music. Thanks to Los Angeles County of Arts and Culture for their support of this podcast. And a big shout out to Jason Lee, our podcast editor. This is Cedaring Fox in Los Angeles. Until next week, signing off.